Martin. No, wait. Mervyn. Sounds foreign, I said. Must not be from around here. You'll probably never see him again. You should probably forget all about him. Forever. Are you tired? I'm tired, and...
Said he was a Sam girl.
A what now? I smiled to show that I thought it was amusing, but it came out as a grimace because I was freaking out. Sam girl, he repeated. Apparently it's a thing, like foxy ladies. I'll be honest, I said. The fact that you just said foxy ladies really made my day. Say it again.
Foxy ladies.
Yeah. Didn't have the same effect that time. Maybe not say it so growly.
Mervyn wasn't very happy to see me,
Ryan said, leaning back in his chair.
Said he wasn't a fan.
Can't win them all, am I right? I forced a hearty laugh to show this was just between us bros and that I understood completely. Bros before hoes, I said, and immediately cringed internally.
What?
Shit. Never mind. Thinking about something else, like hoes and bros.
What about them?
I have no idea, I said honestly. He squinted at me.
You're odd sometimes.
Pretty much all the time. Let's talk about...
So Mervyn was a Sam girl, not a foxy lady at all.
Oh, we're still going to talk about that, I said. That's super.
Did you know about that? Sam girls?
Of course I did. I had invented the term. Nope. I had no idea.
Apparently it's a big thing.
As it should be. I'm awesome.
I shouldn't have said that.
True.
You don't seem very surprised.
That I'm awesome?
Sam.
I am awesome.
Have heart is apparently a thing, too.
He said, not once taking his eyes away from me. So I said, it's always nice to have a heart.
No, that's not what it means. It means you and me.
There is no you and me, I said. Something flickered across his face, something I couldn't quite make out. It almost seemed like hurt and pain, but it was gone behind the mask he usually wore, stoic and strangely charming.
True. Ryston was the other one, you know, for me and Justin.
Very fitting, I said. Ryston sounded like a contagious genital disease.
It suits you too.
I chose that moment to glance over at Tiggy and Gary so Ryan wouldn't see through my bullshit. They were off in some corner, whispering to some stranger, looking back over at us and then whispering some more. Gary was plotting. This wasn't going to end well.
I just thought it was fascinating, Ryan said. People pairing us up like that. I wonder what that was about.
I don't know, I said.
We belong together.
Must be something they see that we don't.
Put your dick in me.
Absolutely. No idea.
All the ideas. I have all the ideas.
Anyway, he said, I signed some autographs. The leader or whatever. She was very adamant. Tiffany, I think her name was. Tina, I said. His eyes widened slightly. I blanched. Tina, I said like a moron. Tina, go. Tina, go. Fall is a waterfall in the Luri Desert, and that is your fun fact for the day, because geography is knowledge and knowledge is power. I gave him an enthusiastic thumbs up. I probably looked a little manic.
Knowledge is power,
he repeated.
You okay there, Sam?
Now that you mention it, I'm kind of...
So, as I was saying, you were right about the fan clubs.
Of course I was, I said. I'm right about most things, and the things I'm not right about are frivolous and have no bearing on anything anywhere ever. I looked back at Gary and Tiggy, in time to see Tiggy slipping some money to the man they were talking to. This was definitely not good. Ryan leaned forward, putting his hands on the table, spreading out his fingers. They were very nice-looking fingers, which of course led to thoughts of what those fingers could be used for.
I had half an erection hidden underneath the table. Penises are seriously inconvenient sometimes. You ever been to one of those meetings? He asked casually. And before I could even begin to think of a way to lie myself out of that one, Gary saved the day by coming back over to the table and saying, "You bitches talking about stuff?"
"Talking about,"
Tiggy said as he followed Gary. "What were you doing over there?" I asked him. "Nothing," Gary said, when he really meant something. "Gary?" "Sam," he mocked. I wasn't going to take a shit. I went for the easy way out. "Tiggy, buddy, love, my sweet, sweet giant of man."
"Pretty, Sam,"
he said, running a big hand over my head.
"Sweet, Sam."
"What were you guys talking about over there?" He put a finger on my lips and squashed my nose.
"Shh, Sam,"
he said.
"Shh, shh, shh." "Mmm, mmm."
"You two looked cozy," Gary said, looking between me and Ryan. "We interrupting something?" "I was just telling Sam about the fan club meeting I ran into mid-afternoon the day before we left the castle." "Fan club," Gary said flatly. "Mid-afternoon." Ryan had the decency to blush. "Apparently I have fans, and they meet." "At meetings," Gary said, eyes burning into me as Tiggy still shushed me. "The day before we left the castle. Now, isn't that just interesting?" My eyes went wide. He knew. God's damn perceptive unicorns. "Sam," Gary said, because he was evil, "weren't you at a meeting the day before we left the castle? A secret meeting that none of us know anything about, that you often attend. By yourself?" "Tiggy, dear," Gary said, "let Sam breathe. I'm sure whatever he's about to say will be most enlightening. Wouldn't want him to die by getting fingered to death, or whatever it is you're doing."
"I know finger, Sam,"
Tiggy said, insulted.
"I know finger him to death."
He pulled his hand away, and I pulled in a great gasping breath.
"Stop saying fingering,"
I panted. Gary's nose wrinkled.
"Well, when you say it like that, it does sound unappealing. But back to the topic at hand. Sam, love, sweet pea, meat muffin, did you hear that you and Ryan attended meetings on the same day at around the same time?"
"Gosh," I exclaimed. "What an amazing coincidence. No two people have ever had meetings at the same time before."
"Hmm," Gary said. "I'm surprised you didn't corner each other."
"Zing,"
Tiggy said.
"So much zing."
"And here's the conversation I don't understand again," Ryan sighed. "I don't understand it either," I said. "Or anything Gary is saying. You shouldn't want to. I don't."
"Ladies and gentlemen,"
a voice called out from behind us.
"Can I have your attention, please?"
I turned and looked over my shoulder. There stood a man in the middle of the tavern on a small stage. He smiled as the noise of the crowd died down. In his hands, he carried a small lute, the strings taut, the baseboard made of oak. He ran his hands over the strings once, and a melodious sound fell from them, bright and cheery. The blood drained from my face. It was the man Tiggy and Gary had been talking to, and he was the bard of the tavern, meaning he sang songs, many times by request, many times made up on the spot. I turned slowly to Tiggy and Gary, my heart thundering in my chest. They were grinning at me, wide and toothy.
"You didn't."
"Oh, Sam," Gary said, "you should never underestimate a unicorn and a giant."
"What's going on?" Ryan asked. We're leaving, I said. Now. Gary sat on me.
Oh, shit.
I managed to wheeze as my chair creaked underneath us. You're not going anywhere, Gary said, wiggling a bit.
Can't breathe.
Are you calling me fat? He said, looking back at me.
Seriously, Gary, for the love of gods.
His tail flicked once into my face.
Your asshole is right there.
Good thing I poop rainbows and cookie smells, he reminded me, as if that was supposed to make this any less awkward.
I do hope you're enjoying your evening here in Arvin's Crossing,
the bard said, completely oblivious that I was technically getting to third base with a unicorn while Tiggy and Ryan watched. I thought maybe I'd had a dream like that once. It was not sexy.
But chances are, since you're in Arvin's Crossing, you're not having any fun at all.
The others in the tavern laughed uproariously. I was too busy getting squished by a gigantic ass. Plus, it was not funny. Maybe it was more of a regional humor kind of thing. Not like puns. Puns are universal and awesome.
But,
the bard said when the laughter died down,
we are truly in the presence of greatness tonight, folks. Guests of honor so astounding that the floor would tremble beneath your very feet. But first, a brief word from our sponsors who help keep me, your host, Zal the Magnificent, in business.
He bowed and took a step off the stage. A thin man with a receding hairline stood up and took his place. When he spoke, it was in monotone as he read from a dirty piece of parchment in his hands.
Do you have gout? Is your love life suffering because you're inadequately proportioned? Do you lie awake at night and dream about setting people on fire and bathing in their boiling blood? If you answered yes to any of those questions, then hold on to your hats because I have a solution for you. Dr. Troy's amazing elixir of rejuvenation, revitalization, and repression. Just one sip and your joints will be limber. You'll have a giant member and you won't feel the need to conflagrate and dismember. Dr. Troy's amazing elixir of rejuvenation, revitalization, and repression. Buy it today.
He took a breath and then muttered quickly and quietly.
Dr. Troy is under royal decree to disclose that he is not a real doctor, has never been to medical school, and makes the elixir in his shack in the woods. It should not be consumed by anyone in their right mind or who wants to continue to live in a remotely healthy way. Do not feed it to animals or children, or they will die in a horribly painful death when their insides melt and leave the body in a most effervescent manner through every orifice available.
The man stepped off the stage.
Gary, if you don't get off of me, I'm going to magic you to death, I whisper shouted.
Shh, Gary said. It's rude to try and interrupt an artist about to perform.
Bards are not artists.
Because they weren't. They were jerks.
Art is subjective, Ryan said.
Your face is subjective, I muttered as I prepared for one of my ribs to collapse.
You really need new insults,
Gary said.
I'm going to get some of that elixir and force-feed it to you.
Maybe you should consider using some of it yourself, he said, wiggling his ass. Little Sam feels like he could use a growth hormone right about now.
Murder,
I hissed.
Shh,
Tiggy said.
Song man going to sing song.
Sal the Magnificent stepped back up, a cynical smile curving on his lips. That didn't bode well.
Thank you, Jerome,
he said to the balding man,
for that ever resplendent rendition. Your joy and humor are like sparkles of light in my darkened life.
The balding man flipped him off.
Now,
Zal said jovially,
you may have noticed a rather interesting group of travelers have found their way to our little tavern. Ladies and gentlemen, though most of you are nowhere near gentle, and I use the term ladies rather loosely because of the shoe fits. All the way from the city of Lux. It's a really tall guy. A gorgeous and beautiful creature with eyes like jewels that sparkle in firelight. That other one, Gary. And the future sticky wicket for the prince.
Everyone turned to us.
Wait, Gary said. Did you mean Sam is a gorgeous and beautiful creature with eyes like jewels that sparkle in firelight? And I'm the other one?
He sounded outraged.
I tall guy.
Tiggy was pleased, It didn't take much. What the hell is a sticky wicket? Ryan asked, brow furrowed. And is he flirting with Sam? Seriously, everyone.
Still can't breathe, I managed to say. Vision getting fuzzy around the edges.
Drama queen, Gary muttered. The bard ignored us all.
They are on an epic quest,
he said, sounding excited and amazed and slightly mocking all at once.
To save the Prince of Varenya from the evil dragon that stole him to keep Justin as his own. Through fire and danger and certain death, they have traveled from the City of Lox to seek the return of the one true love of the Night Commander.
Most of the ladies, who were actually probably whores, and even some of the men, who were actually probably whores, sighed. As if the notion of the romance between Ryan and Justin was so wonderful, it necessitated a starstruck exhalation.
Yay, Royston!
Someone shouted on the other side of the tavern. I couldn't see who it was, so I was unfortunately unable to mark them for death. It was disappointing.
Woo! Royston!
Royston, indeed,
Zal said, eyes alight with mischief.
We have a saying in Alvin's Crossing, don't we, my dears?
Yeah!
Yo!
Yeah!
Yeah!
And what is that saying?
We travel far, stories told through ale and song.
That was really lame, I said, shoving at Gary. He didn't budge. I think it's adorable, Gary said. So backwards and rustic.
So, Zal said, we have a future king's wizard, a knight commander, a giant and a unicorn. And the lovely Tiggy and Gary have requested we sing for them.
You motherfucker, I said to Gary. You too, Tiggy. Tiggy pouted.
Song man said it be good.
Don't listen to him, Gary told him. Sam's just bitchy because he's not getting away.
I feel like I'm in a waking fever dream,
Ryan said, to no one in particular. Like these past weeks are the product of extraordinary illness, and I'm actually in bed hallucinating all of this. Do you often hallucinate about Sam while you're in bed? Gary asked. Ryan blushed terribly. I told myself that the fact I couldn't breathe right then was the product of having a unicorn sitting on me. Nothing else.
Now we know my skills with the lute, all divine.
Zal ran his hands over the strings, and a pretty chord echoed in the tavern.
My voice has been called melodious and sublime. Now I'll sing you a verse or six. Ladies and gentlemen, guests of esteemed honor, I'll give you cheesy decks and candlesticks.
What? I said. What? Ryan said. This is going to be good. Gary breathed. Tiggy grinned. And Zal the Magnificent began to sing.
There once was a princely man, who had jewels for eyes and hair most fair. Say he was to rule this land, undoubtedly down with pinoche and flair. But plans have changed due to nefarious deeds, as a dragon came and saw the prince away, and Varenya waits for him to be freed, so he can return and be wed in a ceremony most gay. Oh, cheesy dicks and candlesticks and everything you need. Listen as I sing a verse or six here in this land of sloth and greed.
What the hell? Ryan said. This is so much better than my dreams, Gary said reverently.
But fear not, my lads and lasses. For they are heroes to be told. A wizardly man and knight who sasses. A unicorn, a giant. All who are brave and bold. They travel the lands on a desperate quest. To save a love that's bright and true. With a sword of knight and the wizard's best. Sing with me now. You know what to do.
Ryan and I didn't sing. Everyone else did. Including Tiggy and Gary.
Those bastards.
Cheesy Dex and candlesticks and everything you need. Listen as I sing a verse or six and the sloth and reed.
Our heroes have traveled far and wide. The wizard was almost gay fairy married. He'd have been the most beautiful forced bride. But thankfully, he was saved by Gary.
You fat sack of crap, I growled at Gary. That's not even close to what happened.
Please, Gary sniffed. I was there. I have eyes. You would have been lost without me.
They learned the secret of the Dragon's Keep, hidden deep in valley and made of stone. And then I turned a corner and all maidens weep. Because what feelings are these that have surely grown?
The tavern erupted into the chorus again, while I glared at Gary with the strength of 1,000 suns.
Corners and stones again, Ryan said.
Sure would be nice if someone would explain to me what's going on.
Yes, Sam, Gary said. Wouldn't that be nice if someone explained what was going on?
I'm trying to listen to this song, I insisted.
For there they winked to Mommy's den, and behind closed doors met with she, in a house of whores and men. No one is more fucked than me. There in the house lives an elf, a noble creature graced with dignity, who has set a goal for his own self. To relieve our wizard of his virginity.
More chorus. Gary, I bit out, you better hope you can run really fast because I'm going to light your whole body on fire.
I am already flaming enough, he said, rolling his eyes.
At least they're not singing about Todd and his damn ears, Ryan muttered.
Cheesy dicks!
Tiggy said.
Cheesy dicks!
And alas, like most stories do, we now approach the end. Will our heroes return with something new?
Tales of a prince they chose to defend.
Of battles fought and dragon skin they did part. Perhaps they'll return with badges made of scars. Or will they discover the war in their heart? As it is surely written upon the stars.
My skin buzzed. Ryan said,
Sam, in such a quiet voice. Noise erupted around us.
Oh, cheesy decks and candlesticks and everything you need. Listen as I sing a verse or six here in this land of sloth and greed.
The song ended to thunderous applause.
I stood at the bar nursing a mug of ale, crisp and tart. A piano played a jaunty tune, people laughing and dancing into the night. I didn't know where the others were, probably around somewhere. I felt I was justified in ignoring them for a bit, especially Gary. Mostly Gary. Pretty much all Gary. If we weren't best friends and he weren't protected by law since he was a magical creature, I would have skinned him alive and made him into a nice area rug. So, of course, he found me first and said,
You mad? You look mad.
Volcanic in my fury. I replied evenly. He sighed.
Well, maybe it wasn't the best idea, but I think we can all agree that it was a good show.
My hand tightened on the wooden mug. It cracked audibly.
Yikes, Gary said. Definitely mad.
If I were a unicorn, I told him, there would be glitter pouring off me right now.
Unicorn rage, he whispered, eyes wide.
So much unicorn rage. Like, the ragiest unicorn rage ever.
Is that why you are getting drunk by yourself and glaring at the wall?
I am not getting drunk by myself and glaring... Oh, wait, I am. Yes, that is why.
Oh...
He put his nose against my ear and snuffled loudly.
I grimaced. I love you, he said, his lips rubbing against my jaw. Gross. Stop it. Can't. Love you. Love you, boo. Love you so much. You my girl. Bitches before snitches. Except you snitched to Zal the Magnificent. I paid him for a performance piece. There's a big difference. You're going to need stitches by the time I'm done with you. He snorted in my ear. You're adorable when you threaten me. Seriously. I snarled at him. Oops. I meant, oh no, please, Sam. Don't cut me. I'm so frightened. You're so scary. Damn right, I said, knocking back more ale. Like a man. It was a pretty good song, though, Gary said. He just couldn't help himself. I'm going to invent a spell for penis rot and give it to you, and you're going to be all like, no, why did I do this to Sam? Why was I so mean? I should have been nicer, now my penis looks like an old-growth forest. That was descriptive. He snuffled my face again. Go away. And leave you to pout all by yourself? Never. Don't be a cunt, Gary. I winced. Okay, time out from the fighting. Can we all agree never to use that word? It's awful and disrespectful, and I don't even know why I said it. I apologize profusely and beg your forgiveness. Agreed, Gary said. I'll speak for Tiggy, who is currently trying to get Knight Delicious Face to dance. And of course I forgive you. Good. Rule 498 of the Sam Gary Tiggy friendship is now in effect. No one can say that word. Time in. I huffed out an angry breath and looked back down at the bar. Ugh. Go the fuck away, Gary. You're dead to me. Whiny little git, he mumbled, but he didn't move. Why the hell didn't you say anything? We're friends, Sam. Not right now, we're not. Shut up. I'm being serious right now. Oh, as long as you're serious. He reared his head back and narrowed his eyes. You're acting like a child. Knock it off. You made a bard sing a song about Ryan and me called Cheesy Dicks and Candlesticks. I reminded him. His lips twitched. Yes, well, to be fair, I didn't come up with a title. That was all on him. You say that like it makes it better. Doesn't it? I certainly feel better. And as if the moment couldn't get any worse, Zal stepped up to the bar, leaning on his elbows and cocking his head at Gary and me. Gary pulled away slightly and rested his chin on my shoulder. I thought about punching his mouth, but was able to hold back. Barely.
You,
Sal said to me,
are a conundrum.
You, I said to him, are a dick. He grinned.
The things I do for money.
That's what whores say. The only difference between you and them is they get fucked while you did the fucking. Sal's gaze flickered to Gary.
Got a bit of a mouth on him, doesn't he?
Wait until he gets really mad and starts with his nonsensical insults. That's when you know you're in trouble. Hash brown snowpacker. I growled at him.
Like that. Gary sighed. I like the both of you.
Zal said.
Joy,
I said. Unbridled joy.
No, really, I do.
He laughed and shook his head.
When Gary came and told me what you're doing for love, I was moved, honestly.
For love? I said, not squeaking at all.
What love? There's no love.
Zal shrugged.
You know, for the Night Commander and the Prince.
Ow. My feelings.
Oh, right. Yes, that love.
So much love there. Like buckets. Of love. And that's exactly why I'm doing this. Well, that was a lie. For their love, which was an abomination and a sin against the gods. There's nothing I'd rather be doing. I would have rather been doing anything but, which is why I'm doing it. I was ordered to by the king.
Yeah,
Zal said.
That sounded believable.
He glanced back at Gary.
You weren't kidding, man.
Right, Gary said.
try living with it. With what? I asked. Stop speaking in code. What are you talking about? Grown-up things, Gary said. Shh. I'll show you grown-up, I winced. Okay, so that may not have been the best way to prove my point. At least you're pretty, Gary said. I blushed. Oh, hush you. Then, wait, hey!
You certainly got your work cut out for you,
Zal said to Gary. You should see them together, Gary said. It's painful to watch.
Kid, I'll give you some advice,
Zal asked. You just sing a song called Cheesy Dicks and Candlesticks, I said. I don't know that you're qualified to dispense advice to anyone. He waved a hand dismissively.
I'm a bard. I'm supposed to make up shit like that to keep people entertained. It's sort of my job.
I wasn't entertained. You should be fired.
Liar,
Zal said. You're going to be singing that song on your deathbed. I made it up in 10 minutes. The last stanzas were ad-libbed. You were so impressed. Okay, I sort of was. But not that I had to tell him that.
Cheesy dicks and candlesticks,
Gary whispered in my ear. I shoved his face away as he laughed. Still doesn't explain why...
I don't know much about the ways of wizards,
Zal said, looking down at his hands.
Or royalty, or epic quests, or magical beings and adventures to save princes from dragons. I know how to tell these stories, but I've never really lived them. I don't know that I want to. There are those of us that run headlong and feet first into danger like it's nothing. Then there's those of us that stay behind and document what happens. Or, as I like to think of it, the sane ones.
Nothing difficult was ever won while staying sane, I said. He gave me a quiet smile.
Exactly. You know what I love?
I don't, but you're going to tell me, aren't you?
Love,
he said. Gross. He ignored me. Damn it. He'd already found my weakness.
Love is an amazing thing. It can move armies. It can destroy people. It can cause even the mightiest of us to fall to our knees in supplication. It's terrifying and wonderful, and if you let it, it can be the greatest thing in the world.
I was almost in awe. I had to stop myself from sighing dreamily. You sound like you speak from experience. He laughed.
Hardly. I fucked too many people to fall in love. Last night I had an 11-way with trapeze artists from a traveling circus. You wouldn't believe how bendy they were. I don't think I've ever seen that much jizz in the space of 3 hours of my life.
We stared at him. He rolled his eyes.
Just because I don't fall in love doesn't mean I don't believe in it. I just happen to believe in it more for other people than myself.
You're my new hero, Gary said. I want to be you when I grow up. But, I sputtered. You said things about love meaning being on your knees for armies. Zal arched an eyebrow.
Oh, boy. I don't know if that's quite what I said.
An 11-way? I said, sounding scandalized. That's so many arms. I bet you couldn't even tell where one body ended and another began. Gary breathed on me.
All those writhing bodies.
Zal agreed. Nothing, I said, because that made sense. I just want a 2-way. Sam's a virgin, Gary said. The only thing he's writhed with is his hand.
Gary!
Truth in advertising, he retorted. I don't writhe, I told Zal. There's no writhing. Where do everyone's feet go in an 11-way? Is there orgy etiquette for feet? Why haven't I been told about this?
Some people like feet in the face, Zal said. Nothing wrong with a little tongue-to-toe action.
I don't want my feet sucked, I told Gary. I am not into feet sucking.
You don't even know, Gary said. It's never happened to you yet.
I frowned down at my feet. I tried to imagine someone licking my toes, and I cringed a bit. Then I thought of Ryan doing it, and... Oh, no. I whispered. I have kinks.
That's not a bad thing, Zal said. Kinks are wonderful, if they're carefully and consensually explored.
Why, last night, I discovered I had a kink for 11 ways.
He wiggled his finger over our shoulders in a slinky wave. Gary and I turned around to see a group of men and women, all with long blonde hair, pale skin, and bright eyes, drinking in a corner. They all waved back, and half of them giggled.
You know,
Zal said, gaze lingering,
if you're not ready for love, we could make this a 12-way tonight. They're only in town until tomorrow. You could invite us to come in.
My room's not big enough, I said faintly. He grinned.
I meant come and you.
Oh, gods, I wheezed, putting my head on the bar. He's slightly prudish, Gary said to Zal. My sweet, innocent little boy.
He's made for love,
Zal said, as if he understood completely. Some people are hardwired that way, Gary said. Some of us want to get married and have babies, and others of us want to get tied up by a centaur and spanked. I thought about hyperventilating, but decided against it.
Are you okay?
Zal asked. Nothing, I said, because it still made sense in my head. I don't even know how we got to this point, Gary said. Again.
You often have conversations about kinks and orgies?
Zal asked. You're making it worse, I moaned. Love, Gary said. That's what this was about. Love.
Love,
Zal agreed.
Kid, I'm going to lay it on the line for you.
I can't take you seriously anymore, I told him, honestly. I don't know where your feet have been. Zal pointed behind me, back at the trapeze artists.
See the big guy sitting on the end? His name's Oyev. That's where they've been. Can't tell you about love now.
I don't think that helped like you think it did, I said.
Why don't you just tell the Night Commander how you feel?
I glared at him. He's affianced to the prince. Then belatedly, I don't feel anything. I don't even know what you're talking about because there's nothing to talk about.
Really?
Really.
So he's just going to get married?
Yes.
And it's what he wants.
Why wouldn't it be? He's doing it, right? Zal smiled, sadly.
Sometimes we do things for the greater good, even if it causes our hearts to break.
You bother me, I said to him. I'm not sure if I'm pleased that you exist.
He watches you, you know,
Zal said. And
what?
No, he doesn't. I said weakly. All night, Zal said, as if I hadn't spoken at all.
Since the moment you walked in together, he rarely takes his eyes off of you. You might not have been looking, but I was.
It's always like that, Gary said. It is not, Zal shrugged.
He's doing it right now.
I told myself not to look. I told myself that Zal was full of crap. I told myself that having hope for something so ridiculous was dangerous because it would crush me when nothing happened. I looked anyway. Of course I did. Across the tavern, Tiki and Ryan stood among a group of revelers vying for their attention. A man was talking to Ryan, a hand against his bicep. But Ryan was looking directly at me. And when he saw me looking back, his eyes widened slightly, and he dropped his gaze. That doesn't mean anything, I said, because it didn't. It couldn't.
Stubborn, isn't he?
Sal said. Painfully so. The prince is my duty, I said. I'm sworn to protect him. That's all this is. That's all this ever was. I allowed him to be taken by the dragon. I should have been faster, stronger, better. If I'd done what I was supposed to do, none of this would have happened. Ryan needs me to get Justin back. That's all this is. Sometimes I want to punch him in the mouth, Gary told Zal. Zal stared at me.
He's like this every day. Maybe he just needs to get laid. Take the edge off. I can talk to Oyev and see if he can help out. Virginity is a sweet thing, but it's so much better to be destroyed and be sticky.
No, Oyev, I said. And selling sex as being destroyed and sticky is not the best way to go about it.
Zal rolled his eyes.
Sorry. It's slow and gentle, and he'll stare into your eyes and your souls will meld together, and the only thing he'll taste is a sweet breath upon your lips. He'll whisper in your ear how you are his treasure, and when a seed blooms within you, the flower of true love will begin to grow.
I didn't know what it said about me that I kinda got a boner from that. Maybe that I was awesome, or very, very sad. I will be excellent at boning, I said, when I'm ready for it. Now would be good. I'm fine with now. Zal shook his head.
I think I understand why everyone adores you. You're a conundrum, wrapped in an enigma, in a package built of twink.
That's remarkably astute, Gary said.
I am not a twink.
Shriek the twink, Gary whispered. I think I'm pretty much done. With the both of you, good day. I turned from the bar and walked away.
Regrets, kid, Zal called after me. If you never try, then you'll only know regret.
I've had to avoid Ryan altogether, but he saw me and broke away from the guy who was still holding onto his bicep and met me halfway. People danced around us as the music swelled.
Okay?
He asked. Fine, I snapped. Ugh, sorry.
It's okay. Who do I need to kill?
I tried not to grin, but I failed. No one, everyone, I don't know.
That clears it up. Good job,
Sassmaster. I thought I was the god of sass, he asked. It sounds like I was demoted. It was easy, this. Banter. I could do banter. So, like a tool, I said, I got invited to a 12-way orgy with a team of trapeze artists and the guy that sang about cheesy dicks. Shit. Wait, that wasn't banter. I meant for that to be banter. He scowled, eyes darting over my shoulder where Gary and Zal still stood at the bar.
You're going to an orgy?
What? No. I don't want to be destroyed and sticky and have my feet sucked on. His nose wrinkled up.
You... what?
That's what happens at orgies, I explained, because it didn't sound like he knew. I felt overwhelmingly relieved at that. You don't know where to put your feet, so they go into Oyev's mouth.
Are you drunk again? He asked.
Only a little bit, I assured him. And now I realize that I've been drunk a lot around you, but I promise I don't have a drinking problem. Mostly. And I'm not drunk enough to go to an orgy. Apparently I want someone's seed to bloom in me and make flowers turn into treasure or something. I don't know. I might be drunk. Let's banter.
I don't think you have the capacity to do anything but have words fall out of your mouth right now,
he said, a small smile on his face, like he was amused. Like I amused him. I don't want to have regrets, I blurted out. I took a step back. He took an answering step forward.
And what do you regret?
Ignore me, I didn't mean to say that.
But you did.
I took another step back. Wine loosens lips, not that I need it.
Another step forward.
Maybe, he said. But for all that you talk, it's superficial. I scowled at him. Nice word usage, you dick. He shrugged.
I have a shield. It's made of metal.
Fun.
Yours is made of words.
Oh, I see what you did there.
Pretty cool, right?
I narrowed my eyes at him. Dude, are you trying to psychoanalyze me? I'm pretty sure it would take a group of people far more qualified than I, years, to even remotely come close to being able to analyze you. Dude. That sounded like you insulted me with a compliment.
I feel like a lot of your life is insults through compliments.
Why does no one else see this? I asked, without meaning to.
What?
You, this, I don't understand. The king said you don't smile.
So you said.
But here you are. Here I am. Smiling. And he was. And it was wonderful. Would you rather I not? He asked as his knee bumped into mine. And when exactly had he gotten so close? I don't get you. I frowned. Why? Because.
Succinct.
There was laughter in his voice. You're a knight. You're observant. Suddenly it felt very important that he understand this. The king said you don't smile. You're a knight. People say you're stoic and ruthless and hardworking and brave. You're supposed to be. That's what a knight is. But you're also kind and ridiculous and a complete and utter dork. And I see you smile all the time. I don't understand. The music slowed around us into something surprisingly sweet. The cheerful voices and the raucous laughter died down as men and women joined together and swayed along the dusty wooden floor. I was suddenly very out of my depth and thought that running away was possibly the best idea I'd ever had. And I almost made it. I really did. But before I could turn completely, Ryan grabbed my hand and said, "We should dance." "Should we?" There was more in that question than just those two words. And of course, he squeezed my hand, and my magic rolled under my skin, and I swore I could almost hear it speaking. It was saying, "Yes, and yes, and yes." He said, "Sam, it's just a dance." I wanted to argue with him. I wanted to tell him it would never be just a dance. What a cornerstone meant to a wizard, and how it could never be just a dance. That all of this was a bad idea because out there somewhere was the man he loved being held by a creature that apparently only I could understand. His prince was gone. His hand was in mine. And we were here, far from home. Away from most all the people we knew and loved, and my magic said, "Yes, yes, yes." "Just a dance," I said. And he pulled me close. It wasn't like at the castle. There was no one else. I wasn't sniping at him. He wasn't snarking at me. But his left hand was on my waist, and I felt every single touch. And his right hand was in my own, fingers curled and dry and warm. Our feet moved, more elegantly than I'd ever done before. And his eyes never left mine. This boy I'd known as Knox. This man I knew as Ryan. I thought for a moment, for a singular shining moment, that maybe I could have this. That maybe this could be mine. That maybe, I knew it wasn't meant to be. But I allowed myself to think such thoughts, because no one else could hear them. They were my own, like a wish upon stars held in secret hearts. We danced. And we danced. And we danced. Chapter 18. Literally everyone eats breakfast. We were only 30 minutes outside of Tarker Mills when we were attacked. Again, 30 minutes. Seriously, fucking fire geckos and dark wizards. Fuck everything that wanted to attack us. Fuck them. I was being weird toward Ryan and I knew it. I didn't know how not to be weird toward him after we danced because it had felt like something more. Something substantial. So of course that freaked me out and I started acting weird. Well, weirder. Example 1. "You okay, Sam?" "Haha! Why wouldn't I be? Everything is peachy. I'm okay. I'm better than okay." "Okay? I only ask because you haven't stopped staring at me for the last 4 hours." "You lie with all your lies!" Example 2.
"Gary, why Sam sweating?"
"Well, you see, my dear Tiki, when a boy loves another boy very much, it makes him awkward and have feelings in his penis and..."
"Sam, why you use magic and glue Gary's mouth shut?"
Is that what that was? Gosh, I just thought I was singing to myself. Example 3.
Hey, Sam, want to join me in the river? We can bathe before the sun sets and it gets too cold.
Sweet molasses.
What?
Stay back, foul temptress!
What?
Not you. I sense the presence of a succubus, like near here.
Ooh, so very near.
You can do that? Yeah, yes I can. Because I have magic, and my succubus tracking abilities. It's a thing, a real thing, that I do all the time.
Right. Your magical succubus tracking abilities.
Shut up, Gary!
And on it went.
To make matters worse, the road between Meridian City and Tarker Mills had absolutely nothing on it. No people, no cities. There were villages here and there, but the flatlands here were mostly farmlands in service of the crown, and they stretched on as far as the eye could see, meaning no distractions, no chance for escape. Just me and Ryan, and Gary and Tiggy, who were doing their damnedest to make things significantly more difficult. I told them both once while Ryan was relieving himself behind a tree that I would make sure they'd be pooping in buckets for the rest of their lives when we got back to Castle Locks. They, of course, had just smirked at me and implied certain acts of an obviously deviant nature that I might consider practicing on Ryan Foxheart. This led me to blush furiously when Ryan came back to the road and I couldn't look him in the eye for 2 days. But we were almost there. Minutes away. My spirits were high. I hadn't said a damn thing embarrassing and or remotely sexual in at least 24 hours. I hadn't even had any inappropriate thoughts about Ryan. Sure, there was a bit of pining going on. Why won't you love me? But it was nothing I couldn't handle. I was an apprentice to the king's wizard, for fuck's sake. I was on my way to slay, hopefully, a dragon. I was going to save the prince, and then when I got back to Castle Locks after successfully training with Randall, there'd be a welcome home party, and I would meet the new man of my dreams, and his name would be Sloane Fontaine or Wesley York IV, and we would dance until the early hours of the morning, much like I'd done with Ryan at the tavern, but whatever. And then he'd take me back to his estate, and I would find out if I was a fan of rimming or not. Spoiler, I was probably a fan of rimming. I had plans. Things were looking up. What are you so happy about? Gary asked me suspiciously. Everything, my good man, I said. I have plans. I don't want to know what they are, if that manic smile on your face is indicative of anything. I'm probably into rimming, I told him. And Ryan tripped and almost fell down. Sometimes he was so graceless for a night. That's so, Gary managed to say. How do you figure? Just seems like it, I guess. Plans, have you? So many plans. Rimming plans? Why the fuck not? I remember when you were a prude. My little boy, who got flustered even saying the word sex, is now talking about rimming. Kids, you grow up so fast. Pretty soon you'll be getting fisted, and I won't know where the time has gone. I was never a prude, I said. I'm just not as sexually liberated as you, especially with fisting. I can't honestly think of a time in my life where I'd find that to be a good idea.
What rimming?
Tiggy asked. Butt stuff, Gary said.
Seriously? Ryan groaned. You guys.
It is, Gary said. Didn't you know that? And before I could start to think about Ryan and rimming, I said, it doesn't even matter. It's a beautiful day. We are alive and healthy and not in any peril, and we're on our way to save the day.
I think he's broken,
Gary said to Tiggy. Then he looked over at Ryan.
You broke our best friend.
Me?
What did I do?
Everything,
Tiggy rumbled.
Sam broken. I smashed my delicious face.
Maybe, Gary said.
No. Smashing, Ryan said. And can we please talk about Night Delicious Face? What the hell does that mean?
Don't even care about what's going on around me, I said, trying to maintain my cheer and most certainly not completely focusing on the alliteration that is really rimming Ryan. Doesn't matter to me at all.
Wesley York IV has a date with my asshole.
Who the fuck is Wesley?
Ryan growled.
Your asshole? Gary choked. You just made everything hurt.
Smash so good,
Tiggy said, curling his fists. And of course, that's when a tree at the edge of the dark woods burst into flames. The fire green and orange with shots of blue running through it. We all froze. No, I muttered. I am having a good day, and this is not part of having a good day. Sloane Fontaine will bring me great-ass pleasure, and I won't even know it hit me.
Are you a secret slut?
Gary asked.
Do you covertly have all the men's? Who is Sloane, and why don't I know him?
Sloane Fontaine? Ryan scoffed. Sounds weak. I bet I could take him in a fight. Probably doesn't even work out or anything. I work out. Like, a lot. I don't even work out, I said, trying to figure out why I was defending two people who were imaginary and most definitely not going to rim me.
Smash! Smash! Smash!
Tiggy muttered. Fire geckos? Gary said. Fire geckos, I sighed. I fucking hate fire geckos. Why do so many things in the dark woods want to see me dead? Or gay fairy married. Ryan pulled out his sword and shield. Can't forget about your ex.
He's not my ex!
I snapped at him. I'm having a good day, and we're not talking about Dimitri.
Oh, no?
Ryan snarked. We'll just talk about Sloane Fontaine and Wesley York IV.
Gods.
Could they have more douchebag-sounding names? They're not real!
You're not real.
That was weak sauce, dude.
Yeah, I'll admit, that wasn't my best.
As adorable as you two are being right now, Gary said, there is the matter of fire geckos that we have to worry about.
Fucking fire geckos, I muttered. I could already hear them snapping and snarling in the dark woods. It sounded like a shit ton of them. Mean little bastards they were. The biggest would stand on its hind legs at about 2 feet tall. Their skin was mottled red and gray and orange. Their teeth were sharp, and that they could expel fire from their skin made them all the more vicious. That and the fact that they tended to swarm and had a penchant for fully cleaning their kill and leaving nothing but bits of glistening bones. Maybe we should...
There they are!
A voice cried out from behind us. We all turned. Coming out of the woods behind us were two dark wizards.
Motherfuckers!
I groaned. Are you serious?
At last!
One of them cried.
We have found you!
At last!
I mocked, my voice going high-pitched.
You have found us!
They appeared a bit taken aback by my sarcasm. Good. They deserved it. I was having a fucking good day.
Ugh. You will do well to bite your tongue, apprentice!
The Dark said. His hands were twitching at his sides, and I could feel his magic building. He was stronger than the ones at the restaurant weeks before.
So I've been told.
I took a step back and felt Ryan at my side, shoulder to shoulder. Tiggy and Gary were behind us, looking back toward the dark woods and the approaching fire geckos, still hidden in the forest. The other Dark said.
Why is that tree on fire?
Did you light the tree on fire?
The first Dark said. He sounded as if he were offended.
This is an old growth forest. That tree is at least 300 years old. Why would you murder it? They're not made to burn. They're made to hug and give us oxygen and shade on a hot summer day.
Great. Hippie Darks. Fantastic.
I didn't murder it, I said.
Did you hug it before you sent it up in flames?
He demanded.
How is this your life?
Ryan asked, staring at me. Why are you looking at me like this is my fault? I asked. Because you're the common denominator in all the crazy, he said. I thought that much was obvious. I rolled my eyes as he flourished his sword, obviously trying to show it off. It wasn't working. Sort of. My penis thought it was working. Hey, remember the last time we went up against a bunch of darks and you were dashing and immaculate? Oh, wait, you weren't, because you didn't do anything. I did. Oh, God, Gary muttered. Not again. Impressively, Ryan scowled at me while keeping his eyes on the darks. Please. I so had this situation handled, and then you stepped in unnecessarily. Unnecessarily? There were four dark wizards and only one of you with your little sword. It's not little. I've seen bigger. And I had. There were some that even the biggest of men had to hold with two hands to get a good grip on. They were heavy and thick and could never be fisted with a single hand alone. That's not what you were saying when it was poking you in the middle of your date, Ryan said. You know, with Todd, who has ears. Oh my gods, Gary moaned. Maybe you should have watched where you were sticking it when you were bending over in front of me, I snapped. You can't just shove it wherever you want. It's not sanitary.
Is this what I think it is?
The first dark said with a frown.
What is this? I have no idea,
the second dark said.
I don't know if I'm being threatened or turned on. It's somewhat frightening that I can't tell the difference.
Sanitary? I keep it clean. Rubbing it off once a week does not count as sanitary. Tiggy giggled.
That sounds like two things.
I do it more than once a week, Ryan protested. Two times a day, at least. When I get up and before I go to bed. Really? I've never seen you do that. He rolled his eyes. Usually you're asleep when I start. I try to keep quiet so I don't wake you up. I'll make sure you're awake the next time I'm doing it so you can watch me. Gary started coughing harshly.
They have to be doing this on purpose,
the first dark said.
Right?
I can't tell,
the second dark said.
The UST is killing me, though. They're like Russ and Rochelle from that serial story you read in the newspaper.
Ooh, you mean companions? I love that story. It's always will they or won't they, and I just want to push their faces together and scream at them to kiss.
Right? Sort of like now?
The darks both stared at me meaningfully. I glared back at them. What the hell is UST? Ryan asked me. He was back on the defensive, eyeing the darks in front of us. I could hear the fire geckos getting louder. I didn't know if the darks had heard them yet. Is that like a wizarding spell? I was sure my face was bright red. Yes, that's exactly what it is. A wizarding spell. They're trying to hex us with all their UST.
Really?
The dark the first said flatly.
That's what you're going with.
And it's not our UST,
Dark the second said.
Don't even try it, Gary said. You won't get anywhere. Trust me on that. It's like talking to emotionally constipated brick walls.
Are we going to fight, or is this another one of those times when I think there's going to be fighting, but instead there's talking?
Ryan asked.
How close?
I gritted out to Gary.
A minute, maybe less. When I say run, you run.
You have a plan? Gary asked.
Yes, running. Running is my plan.
Why are we running? Ryan muttered.
We can take them.
There's only two of them.
And a shitload of fire geckos,
I reminded him.
That want to set you on fire, then eat you.
I'm not scared of little lizards, he scoffed. Then you can stay here, I said. It's been nice knowing you. Tiggy, you know what to do. Sack of potatoes. Tiggy grinned and popped his knuckles.
Why don't you do some magic?
Ryan asked, and for some reason, his pupils dilated and his voice went slightly hoarse.
You could, do magic all over them. Just get it out there and do it.
Oh my gods, Gary said. Seriously? That's what does it for you?
Does what? I asked. What the hell? and I just can't do magic all over them. Even though I probably could. I couldn't tell him I didn't want to take the chance of us getting swarmed by fire geckos and me unable to do anything to stop them from hurting him. Them. Stop the fire geckos from hurting them!
What are they whispering about?
Dark the first asked.
Gods only know,
Dark the second said.
Do you hear that? Sounds like rumbling.
Must be your stomach. You didn't eat breakfast. I told you to eat breakfast.
You know I'm not a breakfast person.
What does that even mean? Everyone eats breakfast. You don't hear people saying they're not a lunch person or not a dinner person.
I just don't like chewing in the mornings,
Dark the second said.
There's something weird about waking up from sleeping for 8 hours and then putting food in your mouth.
How is that weird?
Dark the first asked incredulously.
Literally, everyone does it. Literally.
I really wish you'd stop saying literally,
Dark the second said.
I literally don't think you understand what that word means.
We should probably try and put that tree fire out,
Dark the first said.
It's literally hurting me to watch it burn.
Stop,
the second Dark moaned.
I'm begging you, please stop.
You're literally begging me.
No, I'm... Wait, that one was right. I was literally begging you. Okay, maybe you get it now. Sort of. Just restrict your future uses as much as possible and we'll be fine. And why are they running away?
And we were. As soon as I gave the signal, Ryan squawked as Tiggy picked him up and threw him over his shoulders like a sack of potatoes, running in the opposite direction of the Darks. Gary quickly followed, little plumes of dust kicking up around his hooves, the packs on his back sliding left and right. I took up the rear, looking back over my shoulder as the Dark shouted after us. The air around Dark the First began to shimmer, and I knew. And even though he was too far away for me to hear him speak, I knew the words that were going to come out of his mouth, what his first attack would be. It was in the shift in the air, the flash of blue, cold, and electric. The hairs on my arm stood on end as the smell of ozone filled my nose. The fire geckos roared in the woods, already near the edge. Dark the First muttered dark syllables. His hands twitched, and he began to conduct his symphony. Thunder loud, and lightning struck. Electricity bolted from his hands, arcing toward me. I had the time to hear Orion shout in warning, a cry filled with fear and anguish. And I felt my magic settle even further, another piece of the cornerstone locking into place, whether I wanted it to or not. It felt like ease and wonderment and coming home, home, home. I was bright and heartsore because it was a taste of what it could be like, a mere shadow of how great it could be. But it was enough for this moment, for now, for good. I didn't have to think or speak. There was something flitting along the edges of my vision and tongue, like memory or deja vu. It rankled that it was so close, like a dream faded but not forgotten. Not completely. The lightning struck the palm of my left hand that I'd raised in front of me. It coursed up my arm and everything was blue, blue, blue. And it tripped and stuttered over my heart as it crawled along my chest. For a moment, I thought to take it in. To take this wizard's magic and make it my own. To pull it inside and keep it there. It'd be so easy, especially with yet another piece of the cornerstone solidified in place. But there wasn't enough time. The fire geckos were at the edge of the forest, and I could hear their growls and snarls, the snap of their jaws and teeth, the scrape of their claws. A burst of fire erupted from the edge of the woods as the lightning crackled in me, wrapping itself around me, and I thought how easy it would be. Not to absorb it, to redirect it, to make it my own. Only a few seconds had passed since the electricity first hit my hand. The last bit slunk in through my skin as the Dark's eyes widened. I raised my other hand and pointed it toward the dark woods, and there was no need for words, no need for complicated hand movements. One moment the lightning was circling my heart, and the next it was flowing out of me as the first of the fire geckos breached the tree line, eyes blazing. Everything felt blue. And the lightning left me then, just like I'd allowed it in. It curled down my arm, bits and pieces arcing out along my skin, before shooting off toward the approaching geckos. They screamed as the ground erupted around them, bodies seizing and fire spitting. And then it was silent.
So,
Dark the First said,
that was a thing that happened.
Dark the Second said, sounding like he was choking.
It did.
I took a deep breath and let it out slowly. A line of fire geckos lay charred and smoking along the side of the road. I could hear more in the woods. It must have been quite a pack of them.
He's still coming with us,
Dark the First said, steeling his resolve. Dark the Second snorted.
Yeah, okay. You go get him then.
I said, come and get me. Like a badass. Dark the First hesitated.
Oh, maybe we'll just let him go.
Dark the Second said,
that sounds like a better plan.
They ran one way. I ran the other. I took a moment to think of Seal and Brr. And a sharp breeze blew back behind me, blowing my scent and the smell of burned gecko toward the darks. When the remaining geckos burst from the tree line, they didn't even look in my direction. Their nostrils flared and they growled, skittering along the ground as they took off after the darks. I looked up ahead, and the road curved around a shallow bend. I took the curve and skidded to a halt. Gary, Tiggy, and Ryan were stopped in the roadway, staring at me. Tiggy still had Ryan over his shoulder, but Ryan had moved almost to a sitting position, his hand in Tiggy's hair. I didn't know I'd had an audience. I really should have expected it. Nosy bastards. Hey, I said, waving a hand at them, going for nonchalant and failing miserably.
What?
Gary said.
Sparklies,
Tiggy said. Ryan said. Silence. Then, I don't suppose there's a chance you didn't see any of that. Saw everything, Gary said.
Lizards get fried,
Tiggy said. Ryan said. More silence. Well, then. So, look. I'm a wizard. These things are expected. You redirect a lightning that was shot at you by a dark wizard and use it to take out half a pack of fire geckos, Gary said, sounding slightly hysterical. What part of that is expected?
Magic Sam is powerful Sam,
Tiggy said.
Fizz, bang, snapple, crack.
How do you do that?
Ryan asked, voice very, very hoarse. I said. Magically? Good argument. Gross, Gary muttered.
You poking my ear,
Tiggy said to Ryan.
Night delicious face poking my ear.
Ryan flushed even further.
It's just my sword,
he said stiffly.
So gross, Gary said.
Let's move on before they come back, I said, hoping that was the end of the conversation. Of course, it wouldn't be that easy. I was walking away when Gary said, Sam? I stopped, curling my hands into fists at my sides. I didn't turn around. I've known wizards, he said, and I knew the others were listening with the same intent. Met even more. There are limits. Hard limits.